Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. This is a human hand grenade matrix sort of running back rundown slash snap reactions, all wrapped into one. I'm working on a snap reactions, series that's going to come out on Tuesday. So it's going to be a little bit different in terms of the way the content is working this week. In terms of that, I'm just going to look at broadly like the passing games and sort of how they look. So I'll do that probably in two parts, and it'll include the quarterbacks, some of the rate stuff in terms of like play action, and the and receivers shares and those sorts of things. It's going to focus more broadly. Almost if you were to think of it in the way that I did some of the stuff in the preseason, like the team-by-team breakdowns, kind of doing it that way. So that'll be something that I'll be working on and I'll have out on Tuesday of this week. So I'm doing this run-focused one a little bit differently. It's going to be just purely running backs in terms of your snap reactions and your human hand grenade stuff. So this is simply the running back sort of put into one. So Dallas, it's Zeke, it's Pollard. You feel good about it. Like nothing new, novel, anything like that. They're both really good. And, Pollard still ranks up there in the top of the position in terms of the grades at the position. So you feel fine about that situation. They get a big win against Minnesota without Dak. So a really impressive performance there from them. And I'll be interested to see sort of what their, what their arc is on the rest of the season going forward. Minnesota, the aforementioned Minnesota Vikings, it's Cook, it's Madison. I was hoping Madison, I had to start Madison in a league because I was pretty destitute there in a couple of spots. So I had to start him and didn't get a chance to really get any production out of him. So I was hoping he had like a swing pass. I was like, come on, get in the end zone. I was like, get in there. But that didn't happen. So he's still fine in an injury away candidate. Dalvin Cook been a little bit disappointing this year. So I'd be interested to see sort of what his value looks like coming out of this season. Alvin Kamara. He's the lead running back for the Saints, and his new backup, Mark Ingram. Kamara, 67% snap share this week, 29% for Ingram. Kamara goes 19 rushes, 3 receptions. He goes for 76 total yards and a touchdown, 3 receptions. So it's an okay game. Like you'll survive, but nothing stupendous or anything like that. Basically 30% snap share for Ingram. I think that's kind of what we'll see here going forward. That fits in line with what Kamara has done with good backups in the past. Detroit Lions with Jamal Williams out. Swift stayed right at his normal snap share, 71%. He's at 70% with on the season as an average, so stays right in line with that. 18% for both Godwin, Iwabuki and Jamar Jefferson. Iwabuki is an interesting guy. He's actually a positional convert. I believe he played defense cornerback, maybe safety. And now he's coming in and basically converting to Detroit, converting to running back with Detroit. They were really high on him in training camp and kept him over some guys that were traditional running backs. So interesting there that he jumps up ahead of Jamar Jefferson. I think when Jamal Williams comes back, that is one that you're not super worried about who the third string person is there. I think if you're playing in like 40 man, something like that, Iwabuki is an interesting guy to potentially add. So give him a look and see, just throwing a dollar out there. And again, if it's something like Jamal Williams is injured at the end of the season and, Swift is held out or something like that, it could be a spot start and we, 17, something like that. Crazier things could happen for a team that we don't know what their direction or arc is at this point. Any way out of it, I guess, at this point. We kind of know the direction and the arc of it, but there's not really a turnaround. And so sometimes those teams can pack it up a little bit earlier. I don't think Dan Campbell will be that guy, but I can't imagine that they're going to try and run Swift into the ground when he's if he's banged up at the end of the season. So that could be a potential out there in that backfield. All right, Cleveland. And Nick Chubb has been, in this year, 47% and 57% snap share each week. Like, it's a very tight, narrow range. It's almost like he's on a pitch count. I don't think he is, but it's almost what it looks like. He's 56% this week, so no shock there. 31% for Dearness Johnson. So they basically are almost 90% of the snaps they're in on. Dimitri Felton ran 15%. Again, he's not getting exclusive running back snaps or anything like that. Be interested to see what the Hunt workload looks like when he comes back. Chubb, 16 for 61. Dearness Johnson, 4 for 22 and a touchdown. And Felton had just only one rushing touch. So it is, you know, it's 4-1 Chubb to in ahead of Johnson, which is a little bit more than what you would expect given their snaps. But I think it's a I think Dearness Johnson could be a potential. Again, he's still an injury away guy while Hunt is out, and I think he's a flex viable guy, you know, as we go along here, in bye weeks and that sort of thing. All right, Green Bay, last four games, 69%, 59%, 73%, 66% snap shares for Aaron Jones. In those last four games, it has been A.J. Dillon, 33%, 42%, 23%, 40%. So a little bit more erratic there for Dillon. Aaron Jones, 48 for 257 and a touchdown. Dillon, 38 for 173, no scores. Kylan Hill injured. A guy to potentially watch for here, Patrick Taylor on the practice squad. He did have a pretty pedestrian career. He's a UDFA out of Memphis from 2020. I'm not super optimistic by him or anything like that, but again, he's potentially the guy there in the Kylan Hill spot. If there's an injury, he might be a call-up guy that we're looking for. I don't think anything outside of like deep 40 man, something like that, you're probably rostering Patrick Taylor. All right, the big one of the week is Tennessee and Derrick Henry out and Jeremy McNichols in. Jeremy McNichols will be an interesting guy. He will probably be a very popular waiver wire guy, but for the fact that we roster him everywhere, he's probably not going to be the waiver wire guy in our league. Would be my assumption. Would be my thought, because we probably have him. You know, and I've talked to some folks. And some people, you know, I have 60% share. I know other people have at or about that. I look through all my leagues and he's not there, primarily because if he was, I snagged him up. So that's really the look and see there on him. Like, that's the skinny. Like, he's going to have to be a big ad. You have to watch for the trade deadlines coming up. So there's some speculation, Melvin Gordon, you know, there's some other names floating around out there that could potentially be guys that Tennessee might go after. There's thought that Adrian Peterson is coming in. You know, I've been asked this, and I sort of wonder with Adrian Peterson, you know, he has been out of, again, he's a freakazoid, so you don't really much, the idea that he won't come in shape isn't one that is super concerning to me, right? I think he'll probably come in shape. However, you do have a situation where I think he's a declining player. You know, so he is a declining player in his career. So, and just when you look at some of the ancillary stuff, it's pretty clear that that's the case. And, you know, on his career, he's broken a tackle once every six carries. And 2020, it was once every 8.2 carries. And when you look at his career, last year was one of the worst PFF grades of his career. He's been basically he actually had a pretty good 2018 season, and then as you sort of look down, it has really come down in 2019, and then in 2020 he had, you know, basically the second lowest. It's basically the lowest grade on any sort of volume he's had in his career. There was a couple of injury-shortened seasons, and I think a suspension-shortened season in like the mid-2010s. But other than that, he's been like, this is basically his worst year. And so I wonder, you know, what he has to offer. When you look on the other side, McNichols has been pretty good. And I know that people are going to sort of scoff at that, and but like I actually don't think he's he has been that bad. And he's actually, this is his best in terms of yards after contact per attempt. Again, small sample sizes, but it's actually a decent run grade. He's run a ton of routes, actually. So 2.01 yards per route run this year. So again, it's, you're behind Derrick Henry, so you're not getting a ton of work. But in the opportunities that he has had, he has actually performed better than he has in his career. Again, very small sample sizes, but I do think that the receiving angle to this is pretty interesting. And if they weren't at least somewhat convinced that he could play, he probably wouldn't have run 101 routes for them so far. So that's the other thing that I would say about this. Like, you know, it's really easy to say, oh, we'll just bring in, you know, player X off the street. Well, they could have already done that. And I don't think McNichols is just going anywhere. So those are my thoughts there on that situation. Again, aggressive on McNichols where he's not rostered. Darrington Evans has been placed on season-ending injured reserve. So that's the other angle to this. Like, I don't think you're going to have to – You don't have to worry about him. You basically are going to have a Jeremy McNichols and whoever they bring in type of role here. Mekhi Sargent's the other guy. He's undersized coming out of college and basically not super productive either. So that's kind of where they're at this point. So I kind of like McNichols here, especially given the fact that whoever is going to be the added competition isn't there yet. I like McNichols at least for a couple of spot starts here, and then we'll see sort of how it goes. The Patriots, it's Stevenson up, it's Stevenson down, it's Taylor up, it's Taylor down. I don't think we have a clear answer on who the injury away guy is, and I think it's going to be one of those situations. I mean, now you're getting to the point where you just have to remember this, and again, I'm not advocating you cut Stevenson. I think you're probably playing a little bit longer game with Stevenson than maybe you are J.J. Taylor. More my point with these guys is at this point in the season, you're basically running into a very limited set of outs, right? Because now we're heading into week 9. And as you get into week 9, you have to think, okay, well, if Damian Harris gets injured, what does that mean? Well, okay, if Damian Harris gets injured, that means we're going to have to basically pick somebody to be the, you know, to be the backup. Who are we going to pick? Like, who's our, who are we putting our chip down on? And are you going to want to do that in your week, right? Are you going to want to, is this going to be a scenario where you're going to want to do that? And so you're playing matchups, you're doing all those things. But at the same time, you have to sort of be right, right? You have to be on the, you have to either pick Stevenson or Taylor. Well, here's the problem. Week 9. So again, we're heading into week 9. So if he gets injured week 9, you got 10, like you got a bye coming up as well. I'm not sure, but by the time that bye settles, how convinced you're going to be. So I am backing off of the need to necessarily roster JJ Taylor at this point, just because he's up and down. And that one's pretty tough to sort of gauge ultimately where he's at. I will say with Damian Harris, like, he is, I think he's actually been a decent performer, firmly on the running back two spectrum. And again, there's like a tier break. So I'm just like looking at the stats. There's basically a tier break sort of after 12. You sort of get like about a 10 to 12 point drop. And he sort of fits comfortably in that tier. Again, he's basically, you know, in a group with a bunch of guys, you know, who are basically, you know, below him. It's like your Melvin Gordons, your Kareem Hunts, like your Chase Edmonds, your sort of ancillary starters. You do have Nick Chubb in that tier, obviously, because he's been injured, so it looks a little bit differently. But it's interesting there that basically that is where he's fitting. And yeah, he could, there's guys in front of him who have some injury issues as well, right? James Robinson with his foot, and Cordarrelle Patterson might not be a wide receiver, might not be a running back in your league. So he's actually, if you sort of look and take out Cordarrelle Patterson, he's a fringe running back one. Again, it doesn't make you feel super great, and there's probably ways to replace that. But in terms of like plug and play options in your lineup, it hasn't, you know, I have some spots where like I've played people over him that have been spot starts, but he's tied for third in the league in rushing touchdowns. So, and that ultimately is has some value, especially with the way they're using him, and he is sixth in terms of rusher yards. Like, again, that has value, even if it's not maybe necessarily world changing. Past 2 weeks for San Francisco, 66% for Elijah Mitchell, 64% for Elijah Mitchell. Jamichael Hasty, 34% each week. We know who the injury way running back is there. And unfortunately, it's not Trey Sermon. So I think you got to stash him. You know, if you can get a second for him, do you do it? I might open up the roster spot and do it. I don't feel great about this one. Again, might it be a situation where it's like Damian Harris where you have to – it's a long reveal? Maybe. But it's just – I don't have much faith in Shanahan at this point. So I don't have much faith that I can get him right other than exactly what he's doing in front of us, and that's kind of where we're at right now. And that's kind of why I have a little bit of confidence in Jamichael Hasty, for example. Pittsburgh, I totally, absolutely, 100% imagined a Benny Snell season-ending injury. Apparently, because I watched the game and the guy's arm was like, it appeared to be like he was running off the field with his arm like broken. And that is what the announcer said. And I know that Chad saw the same thing because we were discussing it. And he never missed practice. So I don't know if he had a stinger or what. And it just was a miss. You know, you just missed it. And because of whatever the nature of the bye week and that sort of stuff, like he didn't end up missing any time. I guess that's totally possible. But man, what a wild thing. Now, I wasn't penalized in any way because I caught him in a bunch of spots, and Anthony McFarland comes back and he's got 9% snap share, which is better than Snell's 3% snap share behind 84% from Najee Harris. So I think I was probably right for maybe the wrong reasons. One rush, a couple routes for McFarland. It's basically an ancillary role. I'm not sure we have a right answer here. It's probably a committee backfield once or if Najee Harris is injured, which doesn't make me feel great about the entire situation. It feels kind of like a mixed, muddled mess. And, you know, that's fine. Like, it's but I just don't think you're going to get in a scenario where you're going to feel confident starting anyone. It's fine to take a shot on someone, but I don't think you're going to feel confident. It's going to be a little bit like we just talked about with the Patriots, right? If someone were to go down, like, who are you going to feel confident starting in a week? I'm not sure we have the answer to that right now. I don't mind taking a shot on it, but I think the good thing about a Pittsburgh scenario is it could be a consolidated guy because they've tended towards that in the past. Like, their running backs run a large touch share out of that backfield. I just can't say who it is. So I think it's actually a better bet than, you know, I'd rather have, for example, Anthony McFarland and J.J. Taylor, because I think an Anthony McFarland success story is better than the J.J. Taylor success story, even though I think they're both relatively remote. So Philly, this is wild. So Sanders is out. He's on IR. I got to update the IR tracking thing, too. I did that project a couple weeks ago where I sort of updated all the games that everyone had missed. I got to go back and do that now. Notably, the trumpeter of the bugle guy sounding off at the racetrack, he carrying the zero running back is stupid banner or music or whatever the metaphor, however I finish that metaphor. I haven't heard from a lot of those people, nor have I seen them in any of the elite finishes of any of the high placing tournaments. So I'll just leave it at that. Boston Scott, the first two series in. Nice. Kenneth Gainwell. Excuse me. You see where I'm going with this in a second. Jordan Howard, the next in. He actually gets a touchdown in there. You see Kenneth Gainwell for the first time late in the second quarter. He ends up getting some run, and it looks about equal, but that was garbage time run. So I think if I'm going to start someone this week, I'm starting Boston Scott. You know, and we'll see where that takes us. That it probably is not going to feel great. Again, maybe it's a situation where, you know, is this one where it's game script dependent? I mean, maybe, but at the same time, Boston Scott ran more routes than Gainwell did. Jordan Howard ran two. Gainwell doesn't get on the board in terms of the rushing touchdowns. Scott and Howard both had two. And, like, ultimately, you're like, wow, this whole situation sort of broke weird. What I will say is if you could get a second for Gainwell, do it right now, because people might look at the stat line and realize, like, oh, this was a blowout. Like, they might not look at the ordering of it. and they might instead be looking at the just the overall volume of it and be like, oh, Gainwell, just, you know, they might not get that it's that there was a significant change there. So just sort of be mindful of that and go out there and roster him where he's go out and trade him where you got him. If you could get a second for it, do it like immediately. And then I'm otherwise make sure you clean up shares of Boston Scott where he's available. Jordan Howard, I was going to joke with a couple of people who I'm in leagues with that are AOD subscribers. They went out and added just a gargantuan amount of him. And I was just going to be like, here's the quote from the Adam Sandler quote, you're sick, you're sick. That was what I was going to do. But no, it turns out to be pretty good. So that's good on them for doing that. So again, I would maybe clear up some shares of Jordan Howard where he's available. Again, I think he's probably lower on the scale in terms of comfort the question that I have with him is what is his success look like? And if you sort of take a shot at him versus one of the backs in Pittsburgh, for example, I just don't think there's any ceiling and any difference making outcome to a Jordan Howard start, whereas I do think you could get one if you get it right in Pittsburgh. So that would sort of be the debate that I would have with myself with those guys. Turning next to Seattle and some interesting developments here in terms of the snap shares. Last week it was Collins with 39%. Penny with 36%, Travis Homer with 21%. So that would be week 7. Week 8, a stark difference. 47% for Alex Collins, 30% for Travis Homer, and 19% for Rashad Penny. So a significant drop from Penny. He basically halves what he was. So that makes, I think, Alex Collins much more interesting. I don't think it really changes the needle much for Travis Homer. It's going to be tough to see a start scenario for him. I think it probably puts Penny on ice in terms of being a starter. You can't feel confident doing it. And depending on matchups, that sort of thing, you might feel confident with Collins. But at this point, I'm tepid on Penny. Just that work share dropping, I think you can't feel good about it in the next like week or so, given the fluctuations. It basically is reverting back to where Collins was. So I think if I'm going to feel confident, I'd feel confident going in that direction. But I don't really feel confident that we have a good take. I think the easiest take from this is cut DJ Dallas, 2 and 4% the past 2 weeks. Houston, out of nowhere, Rex Burkhead, now a 49% snap share guy. David Johnson down to 18% after 41% on the season. Lindsey, 13% this past week, 17% snap share on the season. Lindsey's absolutely cuttable. I rostered him in a league. I might have even been the Scott Fishbowl. I'm getting more and more into it. I was about 0% into it in July. Now I'm competitive and now I'm all in. It's one of those things that just gets my competitive juices flowing. I'm like Seabiscuit. I can see it in their eyes, and then I'm all in. So Burkhead, 4 for 21 and a touchdown, 19 routes, 3 for 3, 27 yards. David Johnson, he goes 2 for 4 on the ground, 6 routes, 1 target, 1 reception, 1 yard. And then you get Lindsey, he goes 3 for 8 on the ground, 3 routes, 0 receptions. So basically 3-1 route share over David Johnson in favor of Burkhead. I think cut Lindsey, add Burkhead in a little bit more than maybe an injury away level of payment. And then DJ, hope for a trade. Moss is clearly the starter in Buffalo. 56, 56, 74, 55, 64 during that time span. 43% for Singletary, 44%, 26%, 45, 34%. So it's the past 5 weeks it has been Moss over Singletary. I think you continue to feel that way. And I think he's on the running back two type landscape. Gibson, this one's interesting, and I need to read a little bit more news about what's going on with Gibson. There might be a spot start coming up for Jarrett Patterson. So Jarrett Patterson leads them in rushes and rushing yards. He goes 11 for 46 Two routes, one target, zero receptions for Patterson. 11 routes for Gibson. He runs 8 times for 34 yards. He goes 3 for 3 in the passing game for 20 yards. McKissick runs 25 routes, so basically 2 to 1 over the remainder of the backfield. He runs about 66% or so of the backfield. He has a monster game, 8 receptions on 8 targets for 83 yards. That's a monster game for him there in terms of the receiving stuff. I don't think Gibson's getting eaten from both sides, but it feels like that right now. And I just not feeling particularly great with where that situation is. I'm hoping it's like an injury thing, and I haven't seen specific news on that. So we're going to be watching practice reports and all that stuff here as we go forward. But make sure Jarrett Patterson shares, similar to the way that we did for McNichols and those guys, like just make sure that that's all there for them. Those are all cleaned up. Some other news of notes here. I didn't go strictly in order. I just sort of went down my notes. Eckler, is the guy there in obviously with the Chargers. And then you have, I don't think it's ever going to be a cut and dry answer for what the backup is going to be. It's 32% Josh Kelly this week, 14% for Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson's coming off an injury. He hasn't really been outside of the 11 to 23% range this season, but at the same time, Eckler's basically been, you know, between 50 and 61%. And that was the 32% was 2 weeks ago for, I said that was this week. It was 14% for Justin Jackson in week 6, 32% for Eckler in week 6. And that was after him playing 35 and then 32%. And this week he's back to playing 0% with Roundtree playing 13% and Justin Jackson playing 12%. It's just totally indecipherable there with that. Miles Gaskin doesn't really get an advantage there with Malcolm Brown out, so that's a disappointment. Michael Carter's really consolidating that work share with the Jets, so that's good. James Robinson, Ty Johnson, still the injury away guy there, would sort of be my inclination. We're watching James Robinson's potential injury situation there with him. Carlos Hyde, the clear injury away guy there. P. Ryan backing up Mixon. I had played P. Ryan in a spot this week. It doesn't feel great. Especially now, I figured, hey, they're going to win by 2 scores and P. Ryan's going to rack up some yardage. That didn't happen. With Chicago, we've got Khalil Herbert. He's the guy with Montgomery out and basically putting Damian Williams kind of in a box right now. So Herbert's actually played himself pretty well and probably off of the roster NFL fringe onto the viable. So I think that's a really interesting development there. Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, will sort of see what that angle goes for here. Melvin Gordon's potential trade candidate here. Chase Edmonds again back ahead of Connor, and I think that closes it out. I didn't catch all of them through in the exact order and the way that I went down, but I just had specific notes that I had for specific ones and I skipped a couple that I didn't. So all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, I think there's a couple of really actionable things. Make sure McNichols, I'd probably sell McNichols for a second right now in Superflex, just give myself the liquidity. But I wouldn't sell for less than that. And especially if you've got other options, like, again, use warp principles. If it's him and like 7 other guys around the same valuation, flip them. Like, he's the guy to flip. So that would sort of be my thought. Again, but if you're not going to get better than a second, hold them, because you can bludgeon people. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.